You are listening to Pastor Talk.
What stood out as the most amazing thing or the most surprising thing, the biggest aha moment as you were doing your research or doing your writing?
That's a great question, man. And for me, it was Spurgeon's courage to confront the evils of slavery. Mm. So, I mean, I can't remember the exact date where this happened, but it was before the United States Civil War. Pardon me. And he preached a sermon. We found the sermon. He preached from his pulpit, Metropolitan Tabernacle, and he kind of called out the U.S. He said that slavery is the foulest blot on the legacy of an otherwise great nation.
Welcome to Pastor Talk, the podcast of Lifeway Pastors, giving you the tools and encouragement you need to shepherd your flock well. I'm your host, Marty Duren.
My guest today on Pastor Talk is Matt Carter. Matt's the pastor of preaching and vision at Austin Stone Community Church in Austin, Texas, which he planted about 15 years ago. Austin Stone has grown from a core team of 15 to more than 8,000 attending since the church was planted in 2002. He's the co-author of a number of books, not the least of which are Creation Unraveled and Creation Restored, which trace the gospel message through the book of Genesis. He holds an MDiv from Southwestern Seminary and a doctorate in expositional preaching from Southeastern Seminary. Matt and his wife Jennifer have been married for more than 20 years and they have three children. Matt's co-author on Steal Away Home is Aaron Ivey, who is the pastor of worship at Austin Stone Community Church. Aaron will not be on the podcast today, but in his role at Austin Stone, he pastors a team of nearly 300 worship leaders, artists, storytellers, and musicians. He's written and produced more than 10 worship albums and written hundreds of congregational worship songs that are sung all over the world. Aaron and his wife Jamie have been married for 15 years. They also have four children. Thanks again for joining Pastor Talk. This is Marty Duren, and I am really happy that you're here listening today. I am stoked to have Matt Carter on Pastor Talk today. He is the author of Steal Away Home, a book about Charles Spurgeon and Thomas Johnson. Subtitle is Unlikely Friends on the Passage to Freedom. Thanks, Matt, for joining us on Pastor Talk.
Oh, man, it's good to be here. Thanks for having me, Marty.
I'm sure a lot of people know your name if they don't know you personally, and as we were talking kind of pre-recording, you are the bird guy. You're the guy that caught the bird in mid-flight, and it got videoed. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, man, my name's Matt. I'm a pastor here in Austin, Texas. I started the Austin Stone Community Church, I guess, 15 years ago. It was our 15-year anniversary.
That's awesome.
And planted it with a guy that few people have heard of before named Chris Tomlin. He's fairly famous worship leader.
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
And he stayed with me for about 7 years and left me for a different church. I'm not bitter about it.
I can tell there is zero bitterness in your voice.
And I'm married, been married for 21 years. I've got three kids, a couple kids in high school, one in middle school. And several years ago I was writing a book with Colt McCoy, and we were doing a video curriculum series through Lifeway. And we were doing a hunting and video like Bible study series for men, and I caught a quail with my bare hands, which is what I'm known for more than anything else I've ever done in my entire life.
Dude, if it was an everyday event, nobody would know your name. So, I mean, it stands
out. That's true, man. True story, man. I was in Bolivia this summer, and the guy's like, "Are you the guy that caught the quail with your bare hands?" I'm like, "Yes, I am."
That is awesome, man.
It's in South America.
That is awesome. All right, well, the book is Steal Away Home, and you actually co-wrote this with Aaron Ivey, who I believe is on staff with you. Is that right?
That's right. His name's Aaron Ivey. He's our kind of lead worship pastor.
Okay,
and,
cool.
And I've been friends for a long time, and he was the co-author with me.
Okay, fantastic. So Steal Away Home is about Charles Spurgeon, who most people have heard of, and probably some of our listeners have like a picture of him hanging over their bed.
That's right.
Others won't be as familiar with Thomas Johnson. So this book looks really intriguing. So talk a little bit about how you came to write this book, or how y'all came to write this book.
Yeah, man. Well, years ago, when I say years ago, I mean probably 10 years ago, I was reading a book called Killer Angels, which was written by an author named Michael Shera. And he wrote about the Battle of Gettysburg,
yeah.
But he kind of did it in a different way. He wrote it from the perspective of the characters themselves. And so, in other words, General Grant was one of the characters in the book. Robert E. Lee was one of the characters in the book. You'd have a real man that was a soldier on the ground. He was one of the characters. And each chapter was told from his perspective.
Okay.
And when I read it, I was a history major in college. And so I knew a lot of facts about the Battle of Gettysburg, but this brought it to life in a way that I've never experienced. I thought, man, it'd be really cool if we or to someday write something that took some of these figures that have been prominent in church history and did the same thing with them. And, you know, kind of immediately I started thinking about Spurgeon. Charles Spurgeon, everybody knows who he is, one of the greatest preachers that's ever lived, one of the most famous men that's ever lived, really, in over the last couple hundred years. And what would it be like to bring him to life in that way? Because there's been so many biographies written about him. Mm-hmm. And there's been, everybody kind of has read his sermons. We quote him in our sermons, and we know so much about him that I think in a lot of ways he's become larger than life.
Yeah.
He's almost like the 13th apostle, you know,
right.
he's Superman. And Aaron, I thought, man, well, how cool would it be if we could present this guy in a fresh way and present him not just as this super preacher, incredible Christian, person in history, but as a real man that wrestled just like all of us do and try to get by with the grace of God. And so that's kind of the idea behind the story.
Okay, so the format, just for those who haven't seen the book, the format is different. It's not it's not like picking up a history book, even a popular history book. It's written in narrative, so there's a lot of dialogue and conversation. Some of this, I guess, you had to use some, what do they used to call it, sanctified imagination. But if I understood from some of the backstory, a lot of what we would read in the book as dialogue is kind of lifted from their writings or their letters and things like that. How'd you come to that decision?
Yeah, that's exactly right. We wanted to write it in novel form. So if you pinned me down and said, what kind of book is this? I'd say it's a novel of historical fiction.
Mm-hmm.
But in our research phase, we read everything we could get our hands on. When Charles Spurgeon, we read all of his autobiographies. We read the autobiography of Thomas Johnson, which is the former slave become missionary to Africa, which is the other main character of the book. We read Susanna Spurgeon's autobiography. We read all the current biographies. We read all of his sermons that we could get our hands on, with the attempt to try as best as you can from 150 years of history to get in these guys' brains. And so while, yeah, there are definitely some places we took some creative license, the vast majority of the persons, places, dates, and even the events and even the dialogue mm-hmm. comes directly from history. And so if there was a scene that was directly from history, we tried to stick as closely as we could as to what Spurgeon actually said. And so, again, it brings them to life, but it's still true to history.
So you're right. Everybody knows Spurgeon. You know, if he was alive today, he'd be the president of every evangelical association
right.
and the SBC too. But who in the world is Thomas Johnson? I mean, you know, this is when I saw the cover of the book, when I guess it first came out in the catalog several months ago, I was like, never heard of this guy, but this is probably an interesting story. Tell us about him.
It's an incredible story. It's a true story, and it's one that has been just a privilege to tell and kind of bring to light. But when Aaron and I were doing our research for the book, we went to Midwestern Seminary, which is the home for Spurgeon's personal library.
Right.
They have an amazing kind of museum there that has all his personal books.
Christian George sleeps in there, right?
He does. He's got an altar to Spurgeon set up in the corner. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding, Christian. But speaking of Christian George, for those who don't know Dr. George, he's kind of considered one of the top two, I would say, most prominent scholars on Spurgeon in the world.
Yeah, I guess when you find lost sermons, you just get vaulted to the top tier no matter what.
You make the top five for sure.
Yeah, no case.
And so we begged him, like, hey, man, this is what we're doing. He doesn't know us from Adam, but can we come and talk to you? And he was gracious, said, yeah, we'd love to have you. And so we interviewed him after looking through Spurgeon's books, which are really cool. And we interviewed Dr. George, and we were trying to figure out a part of Spurgeon's life that we wanted to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And Dr. George made kind of an offhanded comment about this former slave that Spurgeon had brought to Pastor's College in London to become friends with. And when Aaron and I heard that, we both kind of looked at each other and thought, man, that sounds interesting. And so we started doing research, and we came across this guy named Thomas Johnson, who wrote an autobiography. I don't think it's in print anymore, but it's called 28 Years a Slave. And it's an autobiography. He tells the story of growing up on a tobacco plantation in Virginia. He was separated from his mother at the age of 10 years old. She was sold to another plantation. He grew up virtually alone, bitter, hated his master, hated slavery, longed to be free. He ends up becoming a Christian, and that's part of the story that we tell in the book. But he becomes a Christian. He gets saved. He gives his life to Christ, and the Lord just changes his heart, begins to forgive his captors, begins to experience, as he talked about, the freedom of his soul that he found in Jesus, even though he was still a slave. And he began to have a passion after he'd come to Christ to be a missionary to Africa. He thought, man, if I ever get off this stupid plantation, if I ever get my physical freedom, that's what I'm doing. I'm going to Africa. I'm going to tell people about Jesus. Well, in the story, we talk about what really happened. He does find his freedom through the Emancipation Proclamation. He gets set free. And he's like, all right, now what am I going to do with the rest of my life? And he remembers this kind of call to Africa, but he's not educated. And so through a series of events that are really cool, Charles Spurgeon hears about this young African-American former slave that wants to be a missionary to Africa. Spurgeon brings him to England, and Thomas Johnson becomes the very first African-American student at Spurgeon's college.
Wow.
And during those 3 years that he was being educated at Spurgeon's college, they formed a friendship. Not many people know about this. It's not been written about it, but they had a friendship. If you dig deep enough, you find their letters, you see it in their sermons. You find it in the autobiographies. Spurgeon had Thomas and his wife over for dinner, an incredible relationship. And that's what this novel is all about. It's kind of telling the story of Charles Spurgeon years before anybody was even thinking along these lines of cross-cultural friendships and relationships in the light of the gospel. They were blazing a path of what it looks like for these two guys to be friends. And it's an incredible story, and we're really excited to kind of bring it to light.
That's fantastic. Just as an aside, while you were describing that, Thomas Johnson's book is not in print, but 28 Years a Slave is available online for free. So I found a website. I'll just link to it in the notes on the episode. That's awesome. You know, it reminds me a couple years ago, I think it was Danny Aiken, the president of Southeastern Seminary, approached one of the prominent African-American pastors in the Southern Baptist Convention and gave him the information that most probably the first missionary from the United States was an African-American. I think his name was George Lyle, maybe. And there's a lot, it seems like there's a lot of history, that involves prominent, African-American or black pastors or missionaries that we don't know. We in the dominant culture, majority culture in America don't seem to know as much about. And, it seems like Thomas Johnson kind of falls into that. What, as you were writing the book, maybe related to Johnson or to Spurgeon, what stood out as the most amazing thing or the most surprising thing? The biggest aha moment as you were doing your research or doing your writing?
That's a great question, man. And for me, it was Spurgeon's courage to confront the evils of slavery. Mm. So, I mean, I can't remember the exact date where this happened, but it was before the United States Civil War. Pardon me. And he preached a sermon. We found the sermon. He preached from his pulpit, Metropolitan Tabernacle, and he kind of called out the U.S. He said that slavery is the foulest blot on the legacy of an otherwise great nation.
Wow.
And at the time, most people don't know this, but Spurgeon's sermons were distributed by the tens of thousands in the United States every week. Mm. Everybody, every pastor was reading his sermons and stealing them and preaching them, themselves and all that stuff.
That would never happen today.
Never. And literally when that kind of hit the press, that stopped overnight. The American South revolted against this vile, overfed Englishman, as they called him, that had the audacity to speak against the institution of slavery. And so they had bonfires, book burnings, and sermon burnings. And really it was through that Thomas Johnson kind of first heard the name Charles Spurgeon. He was serving at one of the dinners at the plantation one night, and there was a bunch of dignitaries sitting around the table, and they started talking about Spurgeon, about this Englishman that had the audacity to do this. And Thomas was listening. This really happened. And he was listening and thought, man, there's a white guy that cares about me. Mm-hmm. And it was really this first time that he had this concept that there were people that were white, albeit they're across across the Atlantic Ocean, that care about my future, that care about my freedom. And so when he did receive his freedom, Spurgeon was kind of the first one he thought about. But I think the aha moment to me is this is right before the American Civil War. Mm-hmm. And this is when this discussion is literally ripping households in half and would begin a conflict that would be the bloodiest in American history. And he had the courage to stand up and say something and do something about it. And for me, that's been inspiring. It's helped me to understand for lack of better words, the plight of what African Americans went through in that part of our history in a way that I've never experienced before. And it's been a joy to write and to understand.
Well, the best history books teach us something about ourselves and something about the current time. What's the takeaway or two as you put it together, as you thought about the relationship between Spurgeon and Johnson, as you think about the story you just related? What are things that we need to think about today that we can learn from the situation that's covered in this book?
There's a really cool scene in the book, and we it's talked about, actually happened and talked about in Susanna Spurgeon's autobiography, but the night that Spurgeon and Susanna, his wife, had Thomas Johnson and his wife Henrietta over to their home, and they had dinner together. And what was striking about the evening, well, let me say this. So what happened is Charles Spurgeon and Susanna started asking him questions. You know, what was it like to be a slave in the United States? And what was it like to be a Christian, you know, on a plantation? Mm-hmm. How did you live out your faith as a slave? And what was striking to me is that here's the most famous man in the world at the time, arguably. And all he does is ask questions. He never stops and teaches Thomas. He never really gives advice. He just wants to know the guy's heart. He wants to know the guy's life. He wants to know the guy's experience. And when I was reading that for the first time, I go, that is the picture of what all this is supposed to look like. We're going through all these troubles as a nation because there's so much conflict between the races. And I thought, what if we modeled what Spurgeon's doing here? What if we get in people's homes that are different than us and we just shut up and we listened? What if we did a whole lot less talking and a whole lot more asking questions and empathizing and trying to understand the other person's life? I think that is the picture of how the church comes together at the foot of the cross as equal, love each other well, and show the world this is what it's supposed to look like.
Now, you've been at Austin Stone for since it founded, so 15 years. You have a degree in a PhD, I guess, in, or is it a DMin in expository preaching, whichever?
Yeah, it's a doctorate in expository preaching.
Okay, doctorate in expository
preaching. Which is kind of like the JV doctorate is what I understand. Yeah.
That's okay. It's the flag football doctorate.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good analogy.
So how, so you've preached a lot of sermons, and, you know, God's blessed your church. It's grown, and clearly part of that, if not a big part of it, is the preaching ministry. It's the way it is. How has your learning about this relationship between Spurgeon and Johnson affected your preaching?
Gosh, man, I've probably done 20 interviews in the last 2 weeks. And it's the first time I've been asked that question. How has this relationship impacted my preaching? I think it probably goes back to what I was talking about earlier. If there's an injustice that arguably goes against the culture, but it's rooted in the scripture that is wrong, I don't think I'm going to be afraid to stand up and talk about it. Charles Spurgeon stood in the pulpit. He said what was right, even when it wasn't popular, and he changed people's lives through it. And I think that I, moving forward, will be much more readily willing to engage stuff, even if it means it's going to hurt the amount of people that walk into my doors to hear me preach.
I've been talking to Matt Carter. Matt, along with Aaron Ivey, is the author of Steal Away Home, Charles Spurgeon and Thomas Johnson, Unlikely Friends on the Passage to Freedom. Now available through B&H. And where can people pick this book up?
Man, they can pick it up in Lifeway stores. They can pick it up at Amazon.com. It's a pretty easy way to do it. Those are, but pretty much anywhere books are sold, they have this book.
This looks like one that would be in Barnes & Noble. Do you know for sure?
Man, as of a couple weeks ago, they had it online, but they didn't have it in stores. Okay. But I don't know if that's changed or not, so I apologize for not knowing that.
No, that's no problem. I should have known. I'm certain if you walked into one and said, hey, I want to order this, they'll take care of that for you, though. Excellent. Matt, thanks so much for being on Pastor Talk. And, man, I really hope this book does well and that God changes lives and thinking in the way that he's impacted yours by doing the research and the writing.
Marty, man, thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Absolutely.
Pastor Talk is the podcast of Lifeway Pastors and is hosted by Marty Duran. That's me. Join us each week as I interview pastors, authors, professors, and others to help your ministry as you seek to shepherd your flock well. Until next time, this is Marty Duran.